fucking, like, boom, boom, boom. And it was really, upstairs they might have been making love, but because they were married, but it was really like, but I'm actually getting ahead of myself. My story is pre all the fucking. What happened was that, as we all know, the East Village had a cool time, and then it sort of slowly transformed into being about yuppies who were, you know, worked on Wall Street, who all moved there and paid way too much money for really small tenement building apartments that my grandmother lived in the 19-teens. But when I was there, it was cool, but differently weird. The fucking started after. The fucking was all the yuppies that, for some reason, they really love to have lots of violent, loud sex, and that's why I left and moved to Brooklyn. But before all the fucking was actually some really interesting people.
Wait, there's a sociological thing going on. No, it was true. I didn't hear further.
Okay, I lived in the East Village for 10 years.
You mean,
and
the punks never had sex? Only the yuppies had
exactly,
sex?
Exactly, exactly. For some reason, as soon as all the yuppies moved in, it was like I was living in a dorm. It was like 3 a.m, like all night long, and I left. So, what?
Go ahead.
He thinks we're already out of time, and I haven't even started my story yet. How much time do you have?
Well, we're way out of time. We're at 22 minutes, but
keep going.
But you know, now we're going to make this 36 minutes and something.
Okay, or you could just cancel the whole fucking dialogue. I'll just start from the beginning.
No. Keep going. This is all good.
Okay, so I lived in the East Village from 1992 to 2001. And during that time, during the first few years, it was an incredibly cool building. There was, for whatever reason, everybody was an artist. There was a jazz musician. There was a lot of transsexuals. There were DJs, there was a guy in a jazz band, there was a cool cat guy who played the sax downstairs, smoked lots of pot, and I really enjoyed the environment. But I did have this one neighbor, who I'm going to call Roger, although his real name was Kevin, just to protect his identity. And and Roger
as
lived,
opposed to Draculich and Jeffrey James.
Exactly. Anyway, he was a club kid who a lot of the club people in my life who, you know, had worked at Danceteria and stuff remember that he had had some fame at some point in his life being a DJ, but he had since become agoraphobic and weird and kind of moved in to his apartment and kind of didn't leave. And when I first moved in, we it was sort of like you were saying about the guy who came upstairs and smoked pot with you, whatever. We tried for a little while. It was sort of like, hi, Roger, whatever. Hi, Kevin. You know, hi. And I think in the first week that I moved in, I was excited and I was up super late and I banged the wall to put the paintings in at 3 a.m. or something. And all of a sudden it was like bang, bang, bang on the ceiling, on my floor, his ceiling. You know, I'm trying to sleep, bang, bang, bang. And I was like, okay, oops, you know, and then I tiptoed around. And then it just got kind of weirder and weirder. Like, I'd walk in and I'd walk across the floor and it would be bang, 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 just walking across the floor. So I investigated. I found out that he had pulled down all of the insulation and had a loft that was, there was no insulation between me and him. It was just, my floor was his ceiling, period. That was it. So obviously my walking, talking, everything in those old tenement buildings, he heard everything. But also, he was living in a loft bed that his face was about 2 inches away from my feet, you know, so anything I did, you know, so I guess my hours of coming in at night and everything, he started to get one of those fixated, psychotic, this person's going to drive me crazy complexes about me. And he banged on constantly. He was bang, bang, bang. Every time I walked in, bang, 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 you know. And so eventually this turned into kind of a lawsuity thing where he talked to the landlord and the landlord gave me money and I put down carpeting. So that sort of semi-solved the problem for a little while. Then it got weird. Like, I would be walking upstairs and he would whisper things through his door as I was walking upstairs and then slam the door, you know, or he'd whisper things to other people. Like, that's that girl that I was telling you about, Clem, you know? And I was like, or I'd look up at his window as I was walking into the building, he'd be like looking down at me in a sort of psychotic way. And I was like, wow. Then things got more interesting when,
wow, it's more interesting than the lawsuity whispering phase.
Well, no, there's two more moments. This is a tenement, so I had a shower in the kitchen with my stove and my telephone and my fax machine and everything all within 2 feet of the shower. The shower stall just spilled, you know, right into the kitchen. Like, there was a little mat, but that was it. You'd walk out and you could cook an egg and talk on the phone and take a shower all at the same time because they were all like within a foot of the shower. So somebody was visiting and she was taking a shower and she didn't realize that the head was, it only had a little 1 or 2 inches in the shower that you could take before it would start to spill over onto the kitchen floor. She didn't pay attention to that. It started to spill. I didn't even notice. I think I wasn't there, actually. I think I was out of town and she was house sitting. Anyway, Kevin went completely insane. I guess the water started to drip through his non-existent ceiling and went into his kitchen and started to drip onto his countertops and get into his appliances and stuff. And he came up and was banging away and screaming, "I'm gonna sue you, you motherfuckers, I'm gonna sue. And my friends were really terrified and like wouldn't leave the house and, you know, called me and like, "Oh my God, you're a crazy neighbor, oh my God." And then he wrote me a long letter about how he had filed a police report and he was gonna sue for his broken toaster or whatever. And it was very violent. And then I think I wrote a letter to my landlord at that point because I was like, this guy's getting creepy. And then the next thing that happened was this is the only last story I remember. There was a lot of little other ones, but I was sitting on the toilet. And I guess
I knew it was going to get to this.
It goes to the toilet eventually.
Every time.
Where's Amanda Stern?
If you look up from the bathrooms in these tenement buildings don't have anything in them but toilets. They don't have sinks. They don't have mirrors. They're just rooms with toilets. But there is a little vent. And I'm sitting there, you know, thinking or whatever one does on the toilet. And all of a sudden I hear, "I hear you." Coming in through the vent above my head, and like, you know, some other little menacing statements about how he was going to, you know, whatever. And I was like, So anyway, this mounted, it mounted, and I kept sending these letters, like, you know, and then I was in my personal closet and he whispered through the duct, and I was actually kind of frightened for my safety because, you know, this guy was clearly just amping up his anxiety level. And the story doesn't really have an ending. He met a rich guy from Florida and finally was able to get rid of his $350 a month rent stabilized apartment because he moved in with him down in Florida. And it was a wonderful day for me, but it has a bad sequel, which is that, you know, then the whole building got gentrified. And in a way, I kind of missed my psychotic but interesting DJ downstairs neighbor.
And the way we end a story that doesn't have an ending is with this sound.
I am not putting up with this anymore. What? I am not putting up with this.
I was actually thinking of the other sound, but that works too. Or the dogs. Well, you know, as we seem, thank you. We seem to have this ongoing problem now that we've moved over to the live recording of 1859 episodes, where we can't conclude within 18 minutes and 59 seconds. Therefore, we take the episode and make it into two episodes. This time, however, I didn't even mention that it was 18 minutes and 59 seconds, so there's not even a closing, so that obviously those who are listening to this right now probably were confused when it just ended.
No, you did, at the very beginning.
Well, but what I'm saying is people who are listening to this now probably didn't know when the last episode ended and just, like, cut out, and they had to download episode two to get to this point.
The exciting
conclusion. So, apologies.
You can cut out the bit about the
No, we're not cutting out.
It's as it happens. Live radio.
So all we're saying is thank you for listening to the second episode of 1859, The Neighbor Story. And with that, we have a few more minutes. 1859 plus 1859.
Is 37.58.
All right, so we're at 27. So
we can talk about other people's bad neighbor stories.
Do you have a good one, like Kenny Melman, like a Kenny M neighbor story?
Fiona, you really don't want to.
He has a great one.
We're just going to say Fiona Mazzell is here, but she's not talking.
It's a story, though.
It's a what story?
Oh, come on in. Come on in. Let's hear it.
Here it comes.
Okay.
Fiona Mazzell, her second episode appearance.
A round of applause for Fiona Mazzell.
Yay. Wait, Mike, what's the word that you use to describe fecal material that begins with a P? No, that's not the word he uses.
I use the word poo. We had this whole discussion of whether it's poo or poop. And
now I have to leave the apartment.
And there goes Fiona. We almost had her, and now she's gone.
All right, let's hear it, Fiona.
Well, it's kind of a shit story. And
it's a story about poop.
Unfortunately, the punchline of the story has now been given away well in advance of the story, but never mind.
Well, we don't know whether there's a pee at the end or not, though.
It's true, and that makes all the difference psychologically. I, too, was living in the East Village on right off Avenue A, and I was living on the second floor, and below me lived a very sort of pudgy dog. A pudgy girl, her name was Dana. She was very sweet. She was kind of a freelance editor, copy editor type, but she was really quite shy, and she and I had occasion to kind of commune in the stairwell, and we gave each other sidelong glances that were sort of loving and compassionate. Anyway, one day Dana miraculously, or maybe not so miraculously, got a boyfriend. And I don't remember the boyfriend's name. I didn't see much of him. They did what lovers do in the nascence of a romance. They
make love.
They vanished. They vanished.
No, they didn't have sex because they weren't yuppies.
Right. anyway, she got this boyfriend, and they were very sweet together. And he moved in with her really rather quickly, actually, I thought. I was sort of judging them from my second floor apartment. But they were very sweet, and in time it became clear to me that they were sort of everything I was not. They were happy. And so life proceeded. But shortly after he moved in, every weekend she began coming up to my apartment in the morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. At the time, I was sort of engaged in activities of the sort that don't really allow you to wake up early, and even when someone's banging on the door really hard, you don't get up. But she was very insistent, and she would come in every Saturday and every Sunday morning at about 8 or 9 in the morning and ask for things like salt, because she was making an omelet, or, you know, whatever, which was absurd because I never had anything because I don't eat. But she would come anyway. And while she was in the apartment, she would always say, oh, hey, and can I use your bathroom? And then she would go to the bathroom, and then she would leave. And very quickly, it became clear to me that every time she came to my apartment, she was shitting in my bathroom.
Wow.
And
she wasn't pooping or pooing.
So
she was
interesting.
Shitting.
What became clear to me rather quickly was that during the week, she had a day job, and she was able to vacate her bowels at work. But now that she had this live-in boyfriend, she was incapable of shitting in the same apartment as her boyfriend, because once you start shitting in the same bathroom as your boyfriend, that's it. The romance is dead. And she just didn't want to despoil, you know, the romance.
I wish.
So that was it. She would come up every weekend and do this. And because I really begrudged her her happiness, I didn't want to act on the fact that I begrudged her her happiness, and I just let her do this, and this went on for months.
Why didn't you just tell her that the toilet was broken or something, just so she could sort of have to deal with it?
I thought I was contributing to the happiness of the universe by letting her defecate in my toilet.
There's a sisterhood issue here, too. I mean, the women need to be able to go to the bathroom, correct?
This is true, and I was letting her do it to her heart's content and in a way that did not ruin her, you know, her relationship. And that was it. And then, I don't know, one day she just stopped, and I think that was, they moved on. And that was my bad neighbor story.
Or they broke up instantly.
No, because I never saw her either. Like, eventually they both vanished.
Go ahead. You can, we need the ID.
You're presuming that I can get this to work.
Rick Moody's second career as a Foley artist. let's try something here. It's been a while since we've called Olivier. I'm not sure this is actually going to work on my cell phone, but
speakerphone.
Yeah. Let's see if Olivier has a good neighbor story.
Just talk about fucking for a while.
He's just going to tell you all to fuck off.
Well, but that's, you know.
That's funny.
Let's see. We hope he actually answers. Otherwise, it's a big waste of time. He's not going to answer.
He's a busy guy. He's got a house. His wife.
Hello.
Olivier?
Yes, that's me.
Hey, it's Mike. How are you?
All right, Mike. How are you?
Good. Everybody say hi to Olivier.
Hi, Olivier!
You're on another episode of 1859.
Oh, you're pretty good at picking exactly the worst possible time.
Well, that's good because the episode is about neighbors, and we're not exactly neighbors, but close enough. Do you have a good neighbor story?
I don't have a good neighbor story right now. You know, as always, in keeping with my absence of anything good to say and no time available.
What are you doing? That's too busy for.
I'm buying paint, and I've been ripping plywood all day, and it smells really bad in my house. I'm sure the neighbor doesn't like it.
Well, there's your neighbor story right there.
Okay, good.
All right, we'll carry on. Thanks for indulging us.
Well, yeah, I think you've been following me, making sure that I can't talk before you call.
Well, either way, we're happy to have you on board.
Okay.
Goodbye, Olivier. Okay. Say
bye,
goodbye, Brian.
Bye.
Wow, it's a new high water mark for truculence. Yeah.
Do you want to call Kenny?
No, I want to talk about fucking. Can I talk more about fucking?
This is a family show, Claudia.
Oh, no, it isn't.
I've got all these great... I'm just kidding. I really analyze...
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I spent a lot of time analyzing all the different sex sounds in my apartment when I was living in the East Village after all the yuppies moved in. And there was this guy next door who moved in after the guy who played the bongos left. And that was another one of the yuppies. And that guy had the fastest sex of any human being I've ever heard. It was like, and you could judge it by the noises that the woman was making. So like, I just don't know how fast a person can have sex, but it was like, that's what it was like listening to him.
And he had a different one. The lemur.
Yeah. And like every night. A different woman too.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of times different women.
But
yeah.
He got all these women who were. He was like a jackhammer. Sex for yeah. 38 seconds.
Yeah. Well, no, it went on and on, but it was like in the oh, and so like you're pounding the
velocity,
walls.
Velocity, not fast in the sense of premature.
Not like no, human. Fast in terms of speed. Like the pounding was very quick. It was very rabbit, painful sounding. Right. Rabbit sex. Yeah, they were having lots of rabbit sex.
All the women were chiming in exactly.
Well,
in
no,
time.
You could only tell by the women because that was the, or by the backboard hitting the wall. Boom, 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 boom. Like boom, 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 boom. So that was one.
Claudia
of my
Gonson, ladies and gentlemen.
Sex yeah. stories. And then there were the people upstairs, and then there were the people downstairs. And then there were the people in the building across the street, which you could only
Wait,
could
you could hear them have sex across
yeah.
the street?
No, not across the street, across the, in the next building over, which was a few feet.
Where was
yeah.
this building?
What street
on
are we
10th
talking
street,
about?
On 10th Street in the East Village. They probably all moved on to their yuppie upstate New York. But anyway, so it was like there was or almost like a little, a musical of sex that would go on in my building. And I actually left for Brooklyn to get away from the extraordinary amounts of sex that I had to listen to all the time in my apartment.
And instead you got
the drummer
upstairs. Mm.
Oh, and sometimes right. sex downstairs, occasionally, but it's like every few months. It's nothing like the, but it's fun. You can kind of analyze these. After a while you get kind of existential about it. You're like, oh, this is the one who like,
that
she laughs
me.
Every time she finishes, you know, that kind of thing.
I just remembered a pretty good neighbor story. How much time do we have?
We're at 35 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, you know, in our apartment over in, Prospect Heights, there was this period where we heard this kind of mewling thing going on downstairs. And it was going on and on one night, and we were just really shocked by it, that it could go on. Like, this was like the fuckathon of the century. Like, probably, this was like maybe a solid 8 hours of fucking, and we couldn't believe that this poor woman could be going on at this great length, you know. And so it started sort of the next day. It was still going, and we were kind of, neither of us had slept at all. Oh, and it was the night that before our parents were supposed to meet for the first time prior to our wedding. So we were really nervous about the dinner and everything and having to go through with all this. And so Amy finally went downstairs and asked the doorman, what is this, who lives in this apartment? And it turned out that it was like this 98-year-old lady who died like 3 days later. So that was like the cry
of
mortality.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And that's
what you get in Brooklyn.
Yes.
You don't get sex here, you get death.
That's why we like it better.
way to bring up the...
yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's an amazing story.
It's amazing.
It truly is.
I also had an abuse story on the other side. It was sex in three directions, and then there was the Spanish family that was maybe beating up their children, and I had people who spoke Spanish coming over to listen, and there was like broken glass everywhere, and yeah. So it was a fascinating and terrifying time, the yuppie era.
Keep doing that for 20 more seconds, because it's almost time to conclude episode 2 of the Neighbors podcast of 1859. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of 1859. I'm Michael Hurst.
I'm Rick Moody.
Special guests Claudia Gonson, Fiona Mazzell, and Eric Satry. Sorry. Thank you. Talk to you next time. Oh, we can sing it.
1859.